open the novel and pretend the lamps are the first creatures. Each wick lifts like a rib from Genesis and learns to breathe in. Light separates from light, and what looks like a boarding house becomes a small creation, too domestic for thunder, yet stubborn enough to outlive it. From here, the book is easy. You collect witnesses the way a beach collects weed swell. Job will mutter about scales. Jonah will remeasure direction with his guilt. Psalms will take the swell for a metronome. Isaiah will scold your metaphors until they repent. Then, when the reader is properly staffed with scripture and sleuth brain, let Montaigne bring a wicker chair and Rabelais a plate, and notice how everything suddenly consents to be serious while tasting of cider. The learned will ask for authorities, and the sea will provide them. Holland's Plutarch sets the table with moral fiber, practical stools for those who perform courage by habit. Holland's Pliny provides a cabinet of wonders where the squid already understands rhetoric, and the moon plays tide like a stringed instrument. Tuck's Lucian smuggles satire board, and once aboard it behaves Orgoony. Meanwhile, other's verbal narrative, that dockside Herodotus, reminds you to trust rumor when it keeps the hour. One needs such company because Melville is greedy for fat witnesses. He will accept a scrap of logbook from Spitsbergen as readily as a scolium on Isaiah. He will pin a whale tooth beside a platonic sentence and demand that both shine with equal clarity. They do. At least for a page, I break down in the night. Tears like seeds that scatter themselves and continue to grow when out of sight. What the careful reader neglects is the way women keep placing the lamps. The book is supposedly a masculine brain, all rope and quarrel and the long bachelor night of voyages. Yet everywhere that counts, a woman is quietly arranging the air. She stands in kitchens where oil loses its smoke, in counting rooms where sums remember mercy, in island schools where vowels catch the wind, in pews where a psalm is pronounced so that the sea must listen. She keeps names, binds letters, sells bone without apology, trims the wick when men enlarge their mouths, observe her as if she were a biblical creature, not Eve to be accused, nor Ruth to be praised on cue, but a sovereignty that looks like care. Call her Eros if you must, call her the white whale if you dare. At least admit that heat with no owner crosses from her work into the story and steadies it when the brain forgets itself. Stowe's Annals gives you a grammar for towns that do not need to pose. Lord Bacon's Psalms, made of Latin thunder and Tudor brass, teaches you to accept a certain audacity in prayer. I bid, the ghost citation that haunts pedants, follows you like a gull and steals bread. King Henry and Hamlet bring presiding tones. One speaks policy as if rows of barrels were arguments. The other learns that thinking is a kind of sea trial. The fairy quine stains your eye with allegory until even a rusted boat hook becomes a symbol for moderation. Dave Nent offers stage carpentry for moonlight and yards. Brown arrives with a spermaceti and turns head matter into liturgy. He is the physician of clear substance, the saint of refined utility. Read him in a room warmed by oil and you will feel your hands become more articulate. The women remain partly in view, partly not. They are not sirens and not merely widows. They are arbiters of the inland climate. They run shops that smell of tar and arithmetic. They read a ledger that closes true because babies need shoes. They conspire with the alphabet, teach a prayer to breathe, decide which rumors earn space on a press. They are also erotic, quietly decisive. Not the novelist embroidered disaster, not the sentimental governess, but bodies that cause decisions to ripen. A kiss in a lane that teaches a sailor his courage, a hand on a sill that tells a judge what fairness cost this week, a skirt that brushes the rope walk and the rope learns its manners. If you have ever wondered why the lamps in the book so often steady by a finger's breadth without a named cause, it is because these women enter the paragraph by a side door and repair it.